The Spirit came and the church was born in wind and fire and words of power. The Spirit came, blowing fear aside, and in its place weak hearts were stronger. The Spirit came as your word foretold, with dreams and signs, visions and wonders. The Spirit came and is here today to feed the hearts of a world that hungers. Well, good morning and welcome on this Pentecost Sunday. It's so great to see people in the building. I was just looking and I was trying to wait for the day where there's more people in the building than watching at home. I don't think we're there yet. I think there's a few more at home watching with us this morning. But a warm welcome whether you've made it into the building this morning or you're still at home. I'm glad you could join us and be church together, whether you are present or whether you are virtual, either watching it live or later in the week. And we'd love if you have thoughts of reflections and prayers, please do keep the conversation going throughout the week. If you haven't, we've got our podcast that Claire and I do on a Monday. You're welcome to listen to that, a chance for us just to reflect a little bit from Sunday, but also some of the conversations we've had during the week as well. Just to say, tomorrow evening is our church members meeting. All members should have received an agenda with the details for that meeting. So we'll meet still virtually on Zoom at 7:30 tomorrow evening. And we just have to say, from last week, it was our last coffee and chat after the service. We're going to just pause that for now. So a big thank you to Lou Everard, who's shown real dedication to keeping that going. And it's been a great encouragement during these lockdown months. And over the last, I think we've done it for the whole time, actually. It started off a couple of months after lockdown. So thank you, Lou, as well, for leading that ministry as she steps aside for the time being. And for the next 2 weeks, we're still doing online and in person, but if you're coming into the building, we'd encourage you, well, what you'll do is you'll come and go and sit in the hall just to watch the live stream there. We're a few techies short of a live service, so we're not able to do the whole thing for the next couple of weeks. So we're going to do a low-key version. You'll still watch it just as people do at home, but we'll put it on the big telly in the hall for the next 2 weeks. Diana's going to be hosting next Sunday, and then Liz is hosting the Sunday after that. So thank you for them, and thank you, just appreciate the tech team. And we've got Matt and Solette still doing their training under Toby's tutelage over the last few weeks, so thank you for coming in and helping us. It's great to see so many people booked in for our Pentecost barbecue. It's so strange doing a church event where you can only have 30 people. It feels really strange to say, sorry, we've never done anything like that. It's always been come, we'll always find extra chairs, we'll always go to the co-op and get more food. But unfortunately, we're limited to the 30. So thank you for all those who have booked in. And hopefully it'll be a great opportunity just to mix together and eat together. And it looks like the rain's going to hold off as well, which is a good sign. Well, I'm going to hand over to Sarah, who's going to open our time of worship.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together.
Spirit of God. Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. We hope you are all well and you've had a good week. We've been thinking about some of the things we would like to do now that the restrictions are lifting. We might do some of them on holiday. Yes, indeed. I like to be by the sea, to walk along the water's edge and admire the vastness of the ocean. If it's warm enough, I like to swim in the sea too. Not something you like to do then, Clive. Not your favourite. You don't like water. What do you like to do then, Clive? You like to try out all the different cafes, especially ones that serve cream teas. We should have known. But you also like to go in mazes. Oh, you mean where you have to find your way round the different paths to the middle and then back out again? It tests your sense of direction. You usually have a good sense of direction, but sometimes you get lost. When I go in a maze, I mostly get lost. Even with a maze map, I lose my way because all the paths and walls look the same. You like it when there is a platform. A platform. Now I'm lost. Do you mean like at a railway station? A train platform? You mean a lookout platform? You can climb up and from the top you get a bird's eye view. You can see right across the maze. And you can see the way out. Oh, so you could direct people to the exit. Or you can learn and remember the way for yourself. But you don't often get lost. I always worry that I will get so lost, I will never find my way out and be wandering around all night. I wonder if GP trackers work in mazes. You don't think so. You think I would need someone with a bird's eye view to help me. Maybe a rescue helicopter. Well, yes, that would work. You wonder if rescue helicopters ever get called out to rescue people from mazes. Well, they certainly get called out to rescue people who are lost. Sometimes life seems a bit like a maze. There are so many paths and we don't know which one to take. Perhaps because we don't know which path will lead us to where we want to go. Or perhaps we don't even know where we want to go. Sometimes in life, we might feel a bit lost. We can only see where we are now. And if we look back, then perhaps we can see where we came from. But seeing where we want to go is always a bit more difficult. But God has a bird's eye view. He sees the bigger picture. He sees the end from the beginning. So when we rely on him, we're never really lost because he always knows the way through the maze of life. So he's like someone directing us from the platform. Well, yes, in a way, but he is better than that because not only does he see the way that we need to go, but he walks with us as we're going. He is our guide and he never leaves us on our own. So if God is always with us and he guides us through the maze and we never get lost when we're with him, You will need to put two cakes in your rucksack. Two cakes. One for you and one for God. Well, that's a good idea. But God will always give his cake away. God will always direct you to someone else who is lost and needs the cake. And then you can bring his love to someone else. But it's time for us to go now. So it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive. We hope you have a good week and be blessed by knowing God's presence with you this week. And I hope that you will be able to share his love with others. Be blessed.
Well, we're going to reflect a little bit on the survey that we did as a church over the last few months. Many people had an opportunity just to fill out a questionnaire. So what we've done is Claire and I have kind of had a conversation around those points. So we're going to watch that video now, just a little bit of a time just to reflect on them. After the service, we say it in the video, but I'll just say we've got copies of the results here. Please take them away. They're live on the website as well, so you can see them there. But this is just our little conversation about how we reflect on what the survey says. Thank you, Celeste. Well, good morning and welcome to just an opportunity for us to reflect a little bit on the survey that we asked people to do a few weeks ago. So I sat down with the eldership team and we spent some time just reflecting. Me and you have just reflected again. After the service, you can download this from our website so everyone can have a look. And the idea really is it just helps us to pray and reflect as time goes by. So, but I think this week we just wanted to, I guess, us have a little reflection on it. Answering some of the questions, answering the big question is how now should we live, which is kind of a question we threw out there. And then what does this tell us about that question?
I mean, obviously, just if we asked everybody how now should we live post COVID-19, the answers would be so broad that we wouldn't really be able to quantify them or even, you know, look at them necessarily. So we try to just narrow it down to a few specific areas that might help us think more narrowly what people are planning on doing and then wider kind of what's going on with them and their needs.
Okay, so the first question was about how do you plan to attend church? And a really interesting one. So kind of 5% said they would stay online. 41% said they would stay in the building or come into the building, and a 55% said they would do a bit of both. Which I guess statistics are great until you ultimately have to interpret them, don't you? So what did people mean by that? Because a combination can mean lots of different things.
Well, I think two people said they would only plan to come to services online. Yeah, so that means for two people, I think if there wasn't an online service, they wouldn't necessarily be able or planning to come to church.
And that does resonate with, we've had a few people who have just, you know, engaged with us.
They've joined church,
because it's been on Facebook and been online and possibly wouldn't have come if it was in the building. So that's interesting. So that's probably a few more than two, if those who've done the survey. But there's a small number who say actually will only engage online.
Yeah. The 41% that said they wanted to come directly to the building, I can't remember the exact number of that 41%, but it was, I guess, a lot of the people who have only been in the building who haven't watched it online, and then a lot of other people who just plan that they don't, that, you know, they have watched it online at home, but when everything's back to normal, they plan to mostly access church from being in the building. And then this was interesting, and I was quite surprised at this, that 55%, after all kind of COVID-19 resolves itself in theory, they plan, if both are available, to access church online and in the building, which is obviously very different to 2 years ago, in which nobody really, I think, would have thought of that. And if we posed it as a question, would you like to access church online, I don't think it would necessarily have gone down very well.
I don't think we've gone. And so previously to this, we did people could listen to the sermon online. Mm. So that was an option, and a number of people did. And I know Paul Calloway used to burn CDs, and we had a way of doing that. And that was really our only, you know, to be honest, two years ago, we hardly thought about online stuff, if we're honest.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that there's this kind of hybrid. And I guess how you interpret that is an interesting one. Some might say, well, that is, people will, if it's a rainy day, will they choose just to stay in bed? Possibly. Does it mean that if you weren't going to be at church anyway, now there's an opportunity to engage later in the week or later in the day, whereas previously you might not have engaged with church at all that
certainly
day.
A number of our congregation work shifts, so they can't access the service on a Sunday morning, perhaps if they're sleeping from a night shift or they're working that day, but they can at another time. And there's other situations in which, you know, people who are struggling to get out of the house for various different reasons, and you know, you're not well and you can still watch church. That's that's interesting. It's not something I really thought about.
And it'll be really interesting to see where that grows over the time, because it's certainly not something I ever thought it would be a priority for us, that we would offer this, both options. And I think we need to be aware. I don't think we need to be too fearful about it. I think it's less, you know, than actually having less focus at 10:30, you know, physically in the building. I think that's always going to be important, but I think this adds to that rather than subtracts to it. But other people might interpret it differently and say, actually, it's all just going to detract. Yeah. I tend to have a positive, you know, saying, actually, I think it might add to our discipleship, to our learning, our growing, and our feeling of connectedness.
And I would have said 2 years ago, well, that's just not church, it's television. I would have felt very strongly about that. And yet actually, my experience of online church is still to be part of a community, still to be connected to people who, you know, love and support you, and still at the same time to get teaching and, you know, that sense of church. But it's going to be different. It's different for everybody.
And as you look through this yourself, it'd be interesting to have your own reflections and your own things. So the next question was...
Sorry, if I just... And also just say, just... connecting this question to question four, which we're going to do in a little while, but just what people reflect on when they've listed their words of what do they think church is, how that connects to church being both in the building and online. It'd be interesting just to marry those things together to think, well, can we be the church that everybody wants to be, all those words that are used, and can we still do this? And just like examine it and maybe be a little bit critical of it, whichever side you fall, to really kind of think about what's best going forward.
And I think with all these things, it's I want to come to it with an open mind, and just an ability just to sit with things a little bit. And the next question was, do you think church needs to change as we move forward? And this is, so 60% of people said yes, church should change. 19% said no, and 21 said don't know. So I think it acknowledges the reality. I think that actually, I think it's unrealistic to say that church won't change a bit.
Yeah.
What we mean by change and what change looks like, I think would be an interesting one to think through. But the reality that this has changed us, and we can't just blindly say, well, it hasn't. But
although we also don't have a survey from 2 years ago, if we'd done the same survey, we might have got the same result, that saying that 60% of people said church should change. Maybe for different reasons then than for now, but you know, there are always people who think things should change, and there's always people who think things should stay the same. And how we listen to each other and to God in that is the important thing, I think, as we go forward.
Yeah, and these are blunt tools, aren't they? So one person's change might not be another person's change. Is a change in the how we do Sunday mornings, is that necessarily what people would say is a real change? Is it more drastic than that? Is there bigger things, that fundamental things that might need to change?
But I think it certainly says that there's an acknowledgement, being that the question says move forward post COVID-19. I think there is a reflection in most people that things are not the same as they were. Our world is not the same as it was, and not just in church, in every sphere of life, you know, in education, for example, there's a lot changing. And I think how it's affected us as well in church.
And you kind of react to that change in different ways. So we've noticed with some of our, how the school's changed, some of that is, well, wait a second, I don't want to do it that way. And why are you changing that thing. We won't go into the, the specifics, but it is how you respond to that and engage with that. And then the 19% who say no, and that's a really interesting response. And I think, why have people said no? I think possibly because we want the security of what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I get that, I really do. And this is not, you know, we're living in uncharted waters to a certain extent, mm-hmm. and looking for something that's stable when everything else. So I hugely respect that no.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I want it to be that way. Mm-hmm. I think the reality, though, is how do we help people who are just saying, no, I want it to be exactly the same, when the reality is, you know, because I think it is the reality, whether we like it or not, things will adapt and change as we go forward. I've not had a conversation with someone in church ministry or another minister where they're in their sole purpose is, no, we've got to just get back to what it was. And I can appreciate that 19% will find that really hard, and I want to be as, you know, supportive and kind of understanding as possible.
And that things shouldn't change for the sake of them. You know, there's certain things that, you know, why would they change? That it was working well and it's going to continue working well, so there's no need for that. But we're just in, we've all been muddled up and thrown up in the air, and we're trying to work out where we've landed, I think. So these are the word clouds.
Yes. So which one do we start with?
So we start with the...
your boat.
The blue. I did blue for kind of... blue for boat. So what we've done here is... we asked everybody to put words in that describe how each of their own little boats or their lives have been over the last year. So we did that for three questions. We asked for individual words or short phrases. Now, the word cloud program that I was using will not cope at all with hyphenated words or double words. So I've had to try and condense what people have, what they're, especially if you've given a long phrase, I've done my best to put that into one word. Occasionally it just wasn't possible. But generally speaking, I've managed to kind of shorten the phrases to a word. But mostly what's happened is people have given one word answers. You type this in, and then what happens is the words that are come up the most are biggest when you see the word cloud. So it's quite a helpful way of seeing right in front of you what the majority of people have answered.
So the larger the word,
the more time it's come up.
Okay.
And interestingly, so we're looking at, if you consider the last year as a storm, with each of us in our individual boats, what five words best describe the state of your boat? And to me, it looks clearly like the biggest words are lonely, hopeful, comfortable, anxious, calm, and frustrated, with tired, isolated, and thankful coming a little bit further down. That's interesting, I found, because they express very different feelings. And when I'm typing up all of the surveys, what the thing I found the most interesting is sometimes words that you think entirely contradict each other, the same one person is writing both of those words. So it's not just that these show contradictory views within our church, they also show contradictory views or feelings in individuals. So it's how we kind of look at that, how we are frustrated and comfortable. We are calm and anxious. This is not straightforward.
No, there's two polar opposites. You know, within, and it feels like there's two little streams of, you know, kind of the comfortable, hopeful, blessed, grateful, and then the kind of lonely, anxious, frustrated, isolated sides to it. And you're right in the sense that we all probably, you know, depending on what day you filled the survey out, might have different sort of answers. But there, I think it also does just go again to highlight this idea that all of us have had different experiences. I can think of a few people I've spoken to, and the idea that this has been a blessed time would be ridiculous to them.
They'd
be like, you're on a different planet if you think this has been a blessing to me. And I've spoken to other people who, you know, the idea that say this has been isolating is like, well, no, I've just been around just as many people as I've ever been. So there's just a really interesting way of doing that. And I think probably what it does highlight is just how scattered our experiences are.
And that means if we're going to go forward together, we are going to have to be incredibly generous and incredibly humble to be with each other. Because I don't know about you, but if you've had a really, really horrible time or experience of something and somebody else comes up to you and says, oh, wasn't that great? I loved it. You know, you're not going to feel overly positive towards them, and you're not necessarily going to be able to process that situation very calmly within yourself. So whilst some people have received peace over the last year, other people have, you know, somebody said that their boat was unsinkable, somebody said it had capsized. You know, these are very different experiences. And how do we really bear with each other together? Because we are together as a fellowship. That's, you know, that's kind of right at the bedrock of faith. And if we can't care about each other and we can't care about the other, the feelings each other have had, then I think we're going to struggle to get everybody back together again.
And some of the little words are really interesting because they're ones that you've already said, you know, kind of unsinkable, drifting, battered, you know, puzzling, you know, the little phrases as well speak into the conversation. And it does, you know, and I think it highlights this sense that we were all together, a sense of unity in a lot of ways, and then pulled apart. And suddenly we've all gone through these many different experiences. I think there's, you know, there's biblical principle, you know, kind of
biblical precedence narratives for that,
and where there's the same kind of account. I was reflecting a little bit on Isaiah 41, verse 10, where it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that was, that bit of Isaiah was written when they were in exile and, you know, in Babylon. And, you know, suddenly they were away from the promised land or the, you know, where their home was. And this narrative of actually, don't be afraid, don't fear, God will be with you. And there's something in this kind of response or in this drawing back that I think something like that narrative and others, where there are stories that relate to us that offer that sense of let's not be afraid, but let's not be delusional in the realities. And I think that's the challenge.
And that's, you know, obviously when Israel were in exile, they'd also lost all of their control. They were subjects. And we class ourselves as free people and we want to have the right to do things our way and to praise God our way. And so this restriction is frustrating, and you know, I think most of us have at some point wanted to stamp our feet, and yet it's not. It's probably more common to be kind of kept subject to things than to be entirely free. Really, in life, we're never entirely free. We do have a bit of an illusion of it.
So the next question. So I think this was best describe what you believe the church should be.
Yes.
Is that right? So this is the pinky red one.
Five individual words which best describe what you believe the church should be. And again, just as the first two questions talked about how we meet as a church, just even as we look at that, just be thinking, can we be those things in those, you know. So the biggest thing, now, I think it's welcoming. I think welcoming got the most amount of response. It certainly, it looks the biggest, not very much more so than loving.
You might need to get a ruler out just to
measure. Just to measure, exactly. I do have the exact statistics somewhere.
Inclusive seems, it's hard to know, but it seems about the same size.
I was surprised at how often inclusive came up. There was three words when it was just, I felt like I kind of just typed them over and over again. It was welcoming, inclusive, loving, welcoming, inclusive, loving. So, yeah.
And they are all interconnected. And the inclusive one's really interesting, certainly in light of kind of our thinking about how we engage with LGBTQ people and how we, as a church, welcome people. And I think that inclusive spirit, I think, is really important. And it does, you know, it requires us to think about other people's needs and think about how we include people. It's fine just to say, yes, we should be inclusive.
Yeah.
But it comes with a cost to actually changing our attitude sometimes, changing how we engage, changing what we think and how we will welcome people inclusively. Mm. And I think I looked at this. This is my favourite one. I think if you just think mm-hmm. about, you know, what church should be, and if we, you know, had an ideal of what, you know, church community. So I mean, just, you know, supportive, encouraging, generous, compassionate, understanding, mm-hmm. relevant, challenging, you know, happy, accepting, mm-hmm. joyful. I mean, they're all lovely words that I'd love to think about moving forward. How do we create mission and ministry that embody all these things? And how are we encouraging those leaders and those people who want to serve in these ways mm-hmm. to embody this? Because I think that's really important, that everything we do as a church should embody these core principles. And these might be all our kind of collective principles, but they certainly speak into the core principles you know, of our church community.
And I think as we go forwards, I think everybody in the church would be saying, it's not so much what we did in the past or what we do in the future. It's not about being traditional or modernising. This is what our church is speaking, is at its heart. Mm. So what we did in the past has to come up against this criteria. What we do in the future has to come up against, you know, is it loving? Is it welcoming? Is it community? Does it have biscuits involved? Biscuits came up.
I think that might have just been our kids.
But that might have been our children, so.
Biscuits have been a big part of what they think church is over the last year and a half. And biscuits have served us well in keeping them quiet.
I think, to be honest, biscuits served me pretty well growing up in church as well.
So that's an interesting one. I think, should we go on to the last one?
I think so.
This was probably the hardest one to... So people took short phrases as sentences and paragraphs.
It was a challenge. It was a challenge.
So we've done our best to kind of, what it says is, please list five individual words that express your needs. So your needs, and this is, it's actually quite hard for people to put down what mm-hmm. they need. I think we get so used to in church life just throwing out, well, this is what everyone needs.
But it's whenever you go around a house group, does anybody have anything for prayer? And it's always my neighbour's second cousin, cousin's dog. So this was, you know, it was like, what are your needs going forward? And obviously it was still a general question, so people couldn't specifically say, I need somebody to help me with my shopping. It wasn't a forum for that. But it gave us an idea of what people need from the church. And the main players, well, overall, absolutely the main one was prayer. Mm-hmm. And I found that it's like, wow, yeah. And it's something we can all do. But I think it wasn't necessarily just in a general sense. It was in a I had to shorten the phrase. And some people said praying together or mm-hmm. something. It wouldn't come up on this. So I had to just shorten it to prayer. But it was very, you know, the idea that we are praying together, we are praying in groups, whether that's online or, you know, outside or in somebody's home, that we are praying, that we are connecting to God together.
And then there's kind of I think it's kind of fellowship, worship, you know, and I think, and we say worship, and I think we traditionally, you know, we try to broaden the definition of what we mean by worship, but I think most people still have an understanding that worship is singing. You know, in some, you know, in the core sense, yeah, I think.
Again, I had to narrow this word. So, typically, it came as either just worship or collective worship. Okay. One time, somebody wrote sung worship, and somebody at some point said something that kind of expressed more kind of holistic worship, including somebody specified outside worship. I think there was another couple of, might have been one more kind of sung fellowship or something like that.
That's
kind of,
yeah. But so there's that, you know, and then fellowship, teaching, community. And I guess these, yeah, they're all things that we've adapted and missed, you know, I guess, you know, that we've tried to have fellowship online, but it's, you know, can be a challenge. You know, we've struggled. Yeah, home group wise, we tried to keep going, but Zoom, you know,
is hard work.
So we feel de-energized after Zoom, but when you're sat in a room with people, you actually feel very energized. And other people I know, you know, maybe think of Zoom in different ways.
A lot of these words kind of mean the same thing. They mean to be gathered with the church family that you love, and, you know, in present, you know, in together, actually in a room with with people. So when I see the word support, mm-hmm. it often said, you know, somebody just said a hug. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't know who wrote that, so I couldn't give them one. But my heart was like really there with, yeah, I want that too. A lot of it is nobody wrote the word that they needed people. But actually, in a lot of words, that was exactly what they needed. You know, fellowship means that, community means that, family or church family is what it often said. Support.
So there's a few that double up.
There's quite a few double up there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's you're gone.
No, gone.
I mean, so just referencing back. I mean, I kind of started thinking a little bit about Matthew 11. You know, we often say this in the communion service. Very famous words, so from 28, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it just, that kind of gathering in, you know, the churches, and at its very best, this inclusive, everyone is welcome through the doors. You know, I think... we forget that a lot of people won't come through the doors or won't be prepared to make that step, but the hope is that, you know, everyone who wants to come through the doors will be welcomed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think many are weary and burdened. You know, I think, you know, there's this weariness, there's this burden of what mm-hmm. this all means, and then the opportunity for us to kind of reimagine that and think how we serve people, you know, through that. And offering and kind of organizing the family so that we can do these things. And it's one of the reasons why we're doing the barbecue on Sunday, is organizing the family so we can get as many people together as possible, safely, and getting that balance right between what we're allowed to do and what's good to do. And the barbecue is that. Come, let's be together.
Yeah.
You know, let's do a few of those. And we've got another one in July, and there's going into autumn as well, just opportunities to gather together. And this was the leadership's kind of response to how do we start building some of these bridges again? Because, you know, we need to relearn a lot of things, you know, and grow in a lot of different ways.
But I know when you said that the series going forward, how now shall we live, kind of how do we get everybody back together again? How do we begin to build up church? And even with some excitement of, you know, getting it all going again. And then are we on week 4 or week 5 of
I've
this?
Forgotten.
So I think we're on week 5. And we looked at the survey results and we're a bit like, well, actually that, how can we have answers of how we go forward when the very people we're going forward with are conflicted even within themselves, and there is a diverse range of needs and opinions of what we do to go forward. So it's, well, come on God, well, what do you want us to do? Please speak and, you know, speak into what we're doing and where we're supposed to be going. And as we've been talking and praying about it, there has been just this sense of actually we're not really going anywhere fast. And and we were talking, there was that sense of you know, just going back to this idea of being in our boats, that this is not the time for us to build a big boat together. This isn't the big building boat time. But what happens is, you know, you've got somebody on a raft that is barely a plank of wood floating in the sea. You've got somebody in a fairly secure and robust boat. Well, these are times of crisis. What do we do now? We do need to be together, but not necessarily in a way that we would like to be, in the most perfect way. And so it's flotilla time. We need to gather together in on our rickety craft. And I was watching re-watching Jaws 2 with Sam last night. The Jaws films are his favorite. And, you know, towards the end, all of the teenagers' boats have all, well, some of them have been eaten, and They're very rickety, and they join together and they strap together and they kind of huddle in the middle for some security against the shark. And there's just that sense in us, whatever imperfect way we can, we need to gather now. We need to gather in spirit. We need to gather in person. We need to gather online. We need to support each other and stick together and we need to look out for those who aren't doing well, because some of us are comfortable. Some of us, as these words have expressed, some of us are secure and rested and comfortable, and some of us are falling apart. And how do we notice each other? How do we look out for each other? And the interesting thing as well, if our church community flotillas, if we all strap our rafts together, then that isn't exclusive. That isn't saying, well, nobody else can join. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody else is floating along and they weren't traditionally part of our church community, well, let's welcome them in and say, come on, let's join our crazy mess of a floating island and journey with us. And that to me is, it's so much repeated in the Bible throughout the encounters of God's people in the wilderness. This was not anybody's ideal. This is not what anybody thought it should look like or would plan to be. They wanted to build, a place for themselves. They wanted to build a temple. What they had were encampments. And I think at the minute, as we're going forward, certainly as you were talking earlier, it's kind of encampment time.
And I think that the word flotilla came in one of the surveys, didn't it?
Someone mentioned that.
And I think it's very easy to find comfort in saying, no, that's the vision over there. Let's just charge forward. I think the reality is some people might want that to happen, but I have not got clarity about where we're going as a church. And I'm sure that might frustrate some people. But I'd rather look at the reality and say, if it's a flotilla, I'm sure there'll be some other interesting ways of describing it. Actually, how do we kind of take stock? How do we find some to go? And in the Jaws film, it's interesting because they were there in the flotilla, but then they get rescued and get taken away. So it's not that that's the permanent.
No, far from it.
It's the reality that actually it's safe for us to be, all strapped together, supporting each other. And allowing, what God's doing to take an impact. And that's why, certainly most, as a leadership team, it's this idea of how do we listen well in June and July? How do we find opportunities to listen well? And something me and Diana are actively kind of taking a lead in, putting things together where we can hear from people. Because ultimately, as a team, we need to hear what God's saying. And if we're too just gung-ho about, we've all got to get back on the old, ship, or we've all got to get on this new one, I think there's a season of waiting that I think will serve the church really well. And it's something that I'm sticking my neck out on and saying there's a time of waiting and just thinking through, what the reality looks like. And that's why things like this are really helpful and conversations and we're engaging with people in the weeks and months to come. Well, I think we'll draw that to end. Please download the word clouds, take them, use them as a meditation, reflect on them, see what words come out to you. If you've got thoughts, please drop us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
And we will have printed ones available.
Yeah, we'll give them
church
on Sunday morning, so we'll have them out as well. So thank you for joining us, and we'll hand back, I don't know what to say, hand back to the live whoever's in the building. Thank you. On the video, so it was an experience for me as well, just adapting and changing. And encourage you. So the idea: take the paper away, download it from the website. It's a way of meditating. So the images, hopefully put them somewhere, reflect and pray it through, and see what God says to you and speaks to you as well. And that flotilla image, I think, is quite a significant one. I don't know who put that on the survey. It was just one person put it there, and it just kind of reached out, that sense of how do we come together and learn from each other. So we're going to hand over to Sarah, who's going to close our service together. I'm just going to say, I'm just going to pray for us now, and then Sarah will kind of close our service, and then we'll leave it there. But let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gathered church, for the rickety craft that we are. I pray that in our unpolishedness, in our humanness, something of your grace and spirit would work through us. Just like those huddled together on Pentecost, fearful and afraid, willing to risk hearing and experiencing you over their fears. I pray for our fractured and scattered community, that you would give us wisdom and a collective unity. Smooth us out. Allow us to draw close to each other and to be guided by your Spirit and your Word. Bless your church, whether this church or St. Mary's or other local churches in this country and the world, as they scramble to work through all of the issues that we have to work through. Thank you for our leadership team. Thank you for those who work tirelessly. Thank you for those who serve on the staff team. I pray that you would bind us together and help us to hear your voice amongst the noise. Amen. We'll hand over to Sarah as she closes our service.
Thank you.